AM and FM in Seattle. And the weather outlook for the KIXI listening area calls for night and morning low cloudiness, afternoon clearing through tomorrow with increasing chance of showers on Wednesday. Highs in the upper 50s, lows in the mid-40s. Currently, it's 50 degrees. KIXI time is 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Kidnapped Patricia Hearst is wanted as a material witness in the robbery of a San Francisco bank on Monday. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Richard Wagner has more on the Hearst story from San Francisco.
Did 20-year-old Patricia Hearst take part in a bank holdup today, or was she an unwilling participant? The FBI has announced she's wanted as a material witness rather than as a bank robber. This based on a security camera photograph taken inside the bank of a female member of the SLA pointing an automatic weapon in Patricia's general direction. The picture could also be interpreted as a gun-toting female covering a counter behind Patricia. The only generally accepted account of what happened today in San Francisco is that Patricia Hearst is still alive and is still in the company of the people who took her, willingly or unwillingly, from her Berkeley apartment more than 10 weeks ago. Richard Wagner, CBS News, San Francisco.
We'll have more in a minute.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Vice President Ford said on Monday night that he thinks members of Congress, candidates for Congress, and top government officials should expect to have their income tax returns audited. The Vice President says these people believe the President and Vice President should be prepared to undergo audits, and they should expect the same treatment. Ford was speaking at a news conference in Palm Springs, California, where he and his wife are vacationing this week. In Key Biscayne, the White House said that Mr. Nixon is heartened and moved by more than $40,000 he has received from Americans who want to help him pay back his back taxes. But the White House says the president will return the money to the senders and, in the case of anonymous donations, give them to the Red Cross to help victims of the recent tornado disasters. Mississippi Governor Bill Waller is asking Mr. Nixon to declare nearly half his state's counties as disaster areas following 4 days of rain and flooding. Damage is estimated at $50 million. 7 people are known dead. Thousands are homeless. Civil defense and Red Cross workers are caring for the evacuees. One of the hardest hit cities is Hattiesburg, as David Dick reports.
The floodwaters of the Leaf and Bowie rivers lap around the eaves of the houses in East Hattiesburg. Hundreds of residents driven from their homes stand on scattered bits of high ground, and they survey the heavy loss. Other homeowners wade aimlessly through the brown water, a woman with a frightened dog in her arms. A man piloting a boat alone, he waves as he passes down the street dotted with automobile roofs that poke above the water level. A man sloshing through the water saying he won't move away because it's home. And 2 men in a house refusing to come out at all. Standing waist-deep in water, they vow to stay no matter what. They took turns sleeping last night on a pool table in one of their rooms. David Dick, CBS News, Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Back in a minute.
People can reach, people can touch, people can help people so much.
This is Paul Newman speaking. Ever been close to a family struck by cancer? Naturally, your feelings go out to them and you ask if there's anything you can do. And they say no thanks and you feel so helpless. Well, there is something you can do. You can tell someone in the family to get in touch with the American Cancer Society. Volunteers there are helping people every day with services and information and counseling about local community resources. That can mean arranging transportation or homemaking help or informing them about existing rehabilitation programs. When your cancer crusader calls, join the people who care about people. Give generously. We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
A team of doctors in Johannesburg have injected an expectant mother with an experimental hormone they believe could double the IQ of her baby. The hormone is known to increase the efficiency of the placenta in the last 4 weeks of pregnancy, the same time when the brain cells of the fetus develop. A report from the African country of Niger says that the Army Chief of Staff says that he deposed the president to relieve what he calls the catastrophic situation in the poor country. This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time now is 6 minutes past 11.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the Sounds of Suspense. Justice, the noblest creation and the highest ideal of man, the foundation of all religion and the cornerstone of every law. Justice, the birthright of every human being on the face of the earth. Justice, we're brought up to believe in it, to expect it. But what about those people who suddenly discover that for them, there isn't any justice?
You just don't go around killing people, Eddie.
But there are people who have to be killed.
The war is over. It's been over for a long time.
No, it isn't. Not for me.
Eddie, you're home now. Don't you understand? What could we tell the police?
The truth.
We have no evidence. That's why we have to hunt them down and kill them ourselves, so that justice can be done. We can only have justice through the law.
Okay. Tell me. Will the law give us justice?
I just told you we have no evidence.
Okay. No justice from the law. So where and to whom do we go for justice? Tell me that. Does that mean there isn't gonna be any justice?
Our mystery drama, Only the Dead Remember, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Tony Roberts and Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
I've found the work to be really challenging, and I enjoy it a lot. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be in it.
People.
My orientation all my life has been, you know, to help.
I wouldn't have been in Red Cross if I didn't care, you know, about people.
People who care about other people.
It's an opportunity for me to help other people and to see my efforts and my skill pay off.
It's just a very rewarding feeling to think that some little thing you've done is going to help somebody else.
It's the joy you feel when you've helped someone.
People who help other people.
It's like anybody involved with Red Cross programs. They want to volunteer and they want to help.
They are just that type of person who will go out of their way to do anything for anybody at any time, and it carries over to the work they do for the Red Cross.
You know, it's like they're there when you need them.
The people who are the good neighbor, the American Red Cross.
I think that anything you know in this world, if you don't use it when it's needed, what good is it?
A long time, ever since he came home from one of our wars, Eddie Benson has been looking for someone. Those vital years of his life that might have been invested in a career, devoted to a family, have instead been devoured by an all-consuming search as Eddie Benson roamed the length and breadth of America, supporting himself by his nimble and sensitive fingers, playing the piano. In grimy saloons, in sophisticated night spots, but always looking, always listening, ever alert for a clue that could lead to his quarry. Well, now, tonight, suddenly the manhunt will come to an end in a cocktail lounge in a northwestern city just a few minutes before midnight. Odd how a search so intense could be climaxed by a discovery so casual. How so serious and deadly a crusade can be capped with a laugh. That laugh. Eddie Benson hasn't heard that laugh in years. That laugh. He would recognize it anywhere. It could only belong to one person. And now Eddie's fingers slide softly and swiftly over the keyboard and find a melody, a pretty little melody that has a special meaning for certain people, especially for that comfortable-looking man at the corner table, the man with that laugh.
So I said to her, "My dear, if I were to get married again, it'd be the triumph of hope over experience."
Yeah. Yes, sir, Mr. Jackson. That's a good one, all right. Oh, what's the matter, Mr. Jackson?
The matter?
Are you okay? You got a funny look on your face all of a sudden.
Hey, Millie.
You didn't get sick or something?
Who's that? Who's that playing the piano tonight?
Oh, some guy filling in for Woody. You know him?
No. For a minute, though, I thought he may look familiar. That's just my imagination. Millie?
What is it, Mr. Jackson?
Ask him if he'll,
You got a request, Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, I have. Ask him to quit playing that song.
You don't like it? It's kind of a catchy tune.
Just give him this. Tell him to play something else.
Eddie.
You got a request.
Request in reverse. Customer says to take this $10 and quit playing what you're playing now.
What's this character's name?
Jackson. R.J. Jackson.
I see. R.J. Jackson. Does he live around here?
No, up on the hill. All kinds of money.
Figures.
Huh?
It's funny, Millie. How it ends. Where it ends. There were times I thought it would never end. All these years. It kind of took over, you know. It became a way of life.
Look, I wish I knew what you were talking about.
No, you don't, Millie. I think I'll split.
You mean walk out? You can't just walk out on
the... How'd you like to make $10?
All depends.
You keep the 10 spot, and as soon as I'm out of here, you go up to him, good old R.J. Jackson, see, and you say to him, Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost.
You're kidding.
Say it. You're 10 bucks ahead.
Yeah, but you can't just quit in the middle of playing.
Remember the chickens, Millie. See you around.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. The more I get to know musicians. Huh. Now, how'd that go? Mother Hennessy's chickens. Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson, the piano player, he wanted me to tell you something.
Yeah? I bet it's thanks. That's the easiest $10 he ever made.
Well, what he wanted to tell you was...
Yeah? Well?
Well, he said, let's see, Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost.
What's that?
I'm sure that's what he said. Mother Hennessy's chickens are...
No. No.
Mr. Jackson. Hey, somebody, give me a hand, quick, he's fainted.
Go away. All right. I'm up. Yeah. Hello?
Tom. Tom Wilson?
Yeah, that's Tom Wilson. You know what time it is? It happens to...
I got a message for you, Tom. Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost.
What? What did you say? Who is this? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Is Bill Traynor at home?
No, but I expect him. Who's calling?
Is this his wife?
Yes, I'm Liz Traynor.
Will you take a message?
Well, of course.
Tell him, Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost.
Yes?
That's all.
You're joking. Hello? Hello? Oh, well.
Hi, darling.
Oh, Bill. You know, you just missed a phone call.
Oh, never mind that. What'd the doctor say?
Oh, things are just fine. He'll be born on schedule.
You mean you won't take it, girl?
Darling, I'll take whatever we can get.
I can't believe it, honey. After all this time, everything but everything is going our way. You know, Tom worked out the contract.
Oh, Bill. Oh, I'm so happy.
We're going to be rich, honey. We're going to own a business, and we're going to be parents. What were you saying about a phone call?
Oh, well, a man just called. Very mysterious.
Hmm?
He said to tell you that, Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost.
He said what?
Well, that's what he said. And he hung up. Can it mean anything?
Oh, no. Nothing at all. Just forget it.
What about dinner? Bill, dinner?
Did the man say anything else?
Bill, you're so pale.
Honey, believe me, this is really nothing that should concern you.
The key is the name Hennessy.
Where should we go to dinner?
Darling, you're trying to distract me. Hennessy, we don't know any Hennessy.
Look, honey, I've just been going at a very fast pace, and...
Hennessy's chickens. That combination is familiar.
Darling, I'm really very hungry.
I've got it. Oh, I've got it. Your old army outfit is holding a reunion.
What do you know about my old army outfit?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all, except you and Tom Wilson were in it together. You were in Korea. You were prisoners, and you refused to talk about it, even to me.
Why do you say we're having a reunion?
Hennessy. What? Last year when we moved into this house, I was putting a lot of your old stuff away. There was an army picture of you and Tom Wilson. Well, you must have been all of 18, and two other young soldiers. In the middle, an older man, a sergeant. And underneath it, you had written, Mother Hennessy's chickens. It just clicked in my mind. That sergeant, that older man.
He was all of 26.
Well, his name was Hennessy, wasn't it?
Yes.
And he looked after all of you like a mother hen.
Yes.
And now you're having a reunion. Oh, Bill, what a wonderful person, that Sergeant Hennessy. I want to meet him.
No, you can't.
Why?
He's dead.
Oh, Was he killed in the war?
In the prison camp.
Bill, that music, that piano.
Hmm?
Don't you hear it? It's coming from the living room. Someone's playing the piano. I didn't hear anyone ring the bell. Let's go see.
No.
But someone's in the apartment.
Liz, stay here.
Bill.
I want you to stay in the bedroom.
Yes, but why?
Liz, in all the years we've been married, I never asked you to do anything just because I said so. But I'm asking you now, please.
All right, Bill.
Just for a while. Hello, Eddie.
Front door was open. I just walked in.
Well, you're welcome, Eddie. Been a long time.
A lifetime. Nice layout.
Yeah. I've done well.
I'm sure you deserve it.
I went to school on the GI Bill, became an engineer.
I always said you had the stuff, Billy.
I'm going to own a good-sized electronics company.
That's nice.
Our old buddy Tom, Tom Wilson, remember him?
Who could ever forget Tom?
Well, he's drawing up the contract. He became a lawyer. What about yourself, Eddie?
Me?
Yeah, a fellow with your talent, the way you could write songs. Like this one, for Hennessy. We all figured we'd hear you doing Broadway musicals, coming up with top hits.
Well, I've been too busy.
Doing what?
Looking for somebody. Looking for an old friend of ours.
Bill, I had a phone call. The craziest phone call.
Hello, Tommy.
Eddie. Hey, Eddie Benson. It could only have been you. Where you been hiding?
Tom? Billy? I got the greatest news in the world. I found him.
Hmm?
I finally found him.
You finally found who?
The needle in the haystack. One grain of sand on the beach. It was such a long time. It was such a long search.
Eddie, who did you find?
Who do you think? Myers.
Myers? R.J. Myers?
He doesn't call himself Myers anymore, but it's still R.J. Robert Joseph. Or, as Hennessy said, our own little Bobby Joe.
Well, that's incredible.
Except he's not so little anymore. He's a very portly gentleman these days.
You say you found him?
I found him.
What did you say to him, Eddie?
Nothing.
Well, how could you just say nothing?
Tom, you, Billy, and I, we've got nothing to say to Bobby Joe. I just made sure of where we could find him, and I came here to pick up you two guys.
Eddie.
I have a 45. What do you guys want to use?
Eddie, what are you saying?
I'm saying if we leave now, we can fly to where he is in less than 3 hours and kill him before midnight.
Kill. Into the pleasant, well-ordered, comfortable world of Bill Traynor and Tom Wilson, there suddenly intrudes a strange, terrifying, and ugly word. It's not a word of this world. It's a word that belongs to another world, a world of pain and horror, a world that they thought was dead and gone. We'll continue in that world when I return shortly with Act Two.
Great taste in the morning. Kellogg's. Kellogg's has that wholesome taste to get you up and grinning.
This is Jerry Coffer for Kellogg's Special K. We've been having some fun in our television and radio commercials by using a ball and chain to symbolize the slight overweight problem common to so many of us. We point out that being a few pounds overweight is just a little more difficult for you. Climbing stairs, just walking around, even sitting down can feel, well, like you're wearing a ball and chain. In case you missed the message, it's this. If you really want to get rid of that extra weight, you really have to work at it by exercising and with sensible meals like the Special K breakfast. A 1 ounce bowl of Special K, America's favorite high-protein cereal, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee, less than 240 calories, nutritious, and by the way, delicious. So why not begin each day with a Special K breakfast and then keep up the good work? Special K can't help you lose weight all by itself, but it really is a good start.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your best
Better Business Bureau knows.
Sheriff, Sheriff, they're gone. Lock, stock, and barrel.
Those low-down polecats told me this new roof was guaranteed.
She's leaking like a sieve.
I'll help you with some good advice from the Better Business Bureau. Beware of the salesman who offers such a guarantee. Roof waterproofing requires skill and judgment. It may take several treatments to completely waterproof your roof. Remember, no known process is 100% guaranteed.
Thanks, partner. Now we're riding out.
Looking for them ornery polecats, sir?
No, looking for some buckets before we drown in here.
Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
When they were 19 years old, Eddie Benson, Bill Traynor, and Tom Wilson suffered and starved and froze in a prison camp in North Korea. Now it's a lifetime later, and to Tom and Bill, Korea is barely a dream. But Eddie Benson is still stuck deep in the nightmare, still determined to carry out a deadly promise they made to each other long ago.
I thought you two guys would be glad to see me. Now. Now we can keep our promise.
What promise?
Tom, you're kidding, aren't you? Bill, you remember the promise the three of us made? Well, do you?
Yes.
It was more than a promise.
Eddie.
It was an oath.
Look, Eddie.
No, you look, Tom. You look back. A mound of dirt in that prison camp. In Korea. You look back and see three guys. We three guys were kneeling next to that mound of dirt. Because it's Hennessy's grave. Look back and hear us. Hear us swear never to rest. Never to stop. Never to know a moment's peace until we kill Robert Joseph Myers. Eddie. How could we
just kill him?
How? Simple. Blow his brains out.
You live in another world, whether you realize it or not. Now, you just don't go around killing people.
But there are people who have to be killed, Tom.
You're not in combat. The war's over.
Not yet.
Eddie, you're home. There's the law. Now, what'll you tell the police?
The truth.
What's the truth?
You know the truth as well as I do, Tom. Myers turned rat in Korea. He gave away our escape plan, and he got Hennessy killed for it.
But can you be sure it was Myers?
We know it was Myers. We knew, didn't we? Bill?
I guess we did.
All right, tell me this. If we were so sure, why didn't we denounce him 6 months later after we were freed? Why? You know why, Tom. You were the law student. You said don't denounce him.
I said?
You said. We had no hard evidence. A smart defense lawyer could get him acquitted at a court-martial. That's what you said.
All I said was I wished we had more evidence.
You said we would have to get Myers by ourselves. That's what you said. We would find him, kill him, and announce it to the whole world. And that's what we swore we would do. Do you remember, Bill?
I remember.
Tom?
All right, Eddie. All right. That was a long time ago.
That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
No, but it means it happened in another time, in another place, under different rules.
In other words, you're not willing to do it.
I can't do it. I'm an attorney, a member of the bar. I simply cannot be an accessory to a felony.
Okay. Bill, what's your excuse?
I'm not aware that I need an excuse.
I spent my life looking for Bobby Joe so that justice could be done.
Eddie, we can only have justice through the law.
Okay. Tell me then. Will the law give us justice?
We have no evidence.
Okay. No justice from the law then. Tell me. In that case, where and to whom can we go for justice? Well. Does your silence mean there isn't gonna be any justice?
Eddie.
Eddie what? Hennessy saved the lives of each of us more times than we can count. If it weren't for him, none of us would be around today. He was betrayed. He was murdered because of Robert Joseph Myers. Now, is that going to be the end of it?
Eddie, there are certain realities that...
I know what you think, Tom. Bill, I want to hear you say something.
I wish I knew what to say.
You've got nothing to lose, Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? I'm just Crazy Eddie, the piano player. You guys, pillars of the community. Rich, respectable, gutless. Well, I'll do it alone.
Eddie, there must be another way out of this.
Tell me about it.
Look, I don't want him to go unpunished either. But Eddie... Eddie. Eddie, what's wrong? Eddie?
I don't know. Hey, Eddie. Get me a drink of water.
Tom, hold on. He's going to pass out.
Let him sleep.
What's the matter with him, Doctor?
Well, I'd say this man's been living on his nerves for a long, long time.
What can we do for him?
Let him sleep. For a week, if you can. And whatever you do, see that nothing excites him.
I'm afraid that's going to be difficult.
Why?
Oh, it's a long story.
He needs rest. Needs calm. Call me tomorrow.
Yes, Doctor.
Bill.
Try to get some sleep, Eddie.
I feel so tired. I'll just rest a while, okay?
Sure.
I never felt so tired, except when we were in Korea. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember how Hennessy would keep us awake while we were on guard?
Sure.
You were his favorite?
Oh, he didn't play favorites.
He liked you more than the rest of us because you were the best soldier.
Eddie, try to get some sleep.
I don't care about Tom, but you. Especially you. You have to help me kill Myers.
Eddie, you need your sleep.
Yeah. I'll sleep a little, and then when I feel stronger, we'll go get him. You have to help me, Bill. After all, if it weren't for you,
If it weren't for me, what, Eddie? Eddie?
Sergeant Hennessy, get me out of here. Hennessy, help me. Please, don't leave me alone.
Bill. Oh, sorry.
I was having a nightmare.
Oh, darling, look, you just can't keep torturing yourself.
Oh, Liz, what am I going to do?
It'll be all right.
No, Liz, whatever I do, it won't be all right. It won't.
Oh, surely you just can't.
Just can't what?
I better not say anymore.
Why did Eddie have to show up now?
Darling, what are you going to do?
I don't know. But I just can't go and kill Myers. It would be throwing away my whole life. Yours as well. Liz, please help me.
I can't help you. No one can help you.
It's all set. We have the closing tomorrow. You'll own a factory, Bill, my friend.
Yeah.
Is Eddie better?
Yeah, he's sitting up now. He's getting an appetite. In a couple of days, the doctor says he can be out of bed.
You know what we have to do, don't you? We have to get word to Myers somehow. I don't like this any more than you do, but we have to warn him to keep out of sight for a while.
I suppose.
Has he told you where Myers is living?
No. He won't even tell me what name Myers is using.
Why?
I don't think he trusts us, Tom. He thinks we betrayed him and Hennessy.
Bill.
Look, Tom, what's the use? In a sense, we have betrayed Hennessy.
I know.
We've even betrayed ourselves.
It's all part of what you have to do to live. Now, we must find out where Myers is.
Eddie won't tell me.
He might tell me. I'll get it out of him somehow.
We'll save him yet, in spite of himself.
Freezing. It's so cold. So cold.
Bill, darling, you're having a bad dream.
What?
Wake up.
Can we build a fire? Why won't they let us build a fire?
Bill.
A fire.
Bill, please.
Why can't they let us have a fire?
Bill.
Eddie.
Yes.
Eddie.
We got to break out of here tomorrow night. Hennessy said to tell you.
We won't have a chance. We better not.
We'll die if we stay here, Tom.
He's right, Tom.
You guys know where we have to meet?
Yeah, Tom and I know. Did you tell Myers?
No.
Why not?
Myers isn't going.
Why not?
Shut up, Bill.
You can't tell who's around.
Hennessy says Myers can't cut it.
But he's one of us. We can't leave him here.
Hennessy says we can't take a chance on him.
No.
No what?
Without Hennessy and us around to protect him, he'll die here. I'm going to talk to Hennessy. I'll convince Hennessy that we have got to take Myers. I'll convince him.
Bill, wake up. Darling, you're dreaming again.
What? Yeah.
Bill, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Only sometimes I don't know which is the dream. This or Korea.
Hi, darling.
Oh, hello, Bill. Tom's here.
Oh?
Yeah, he's inside talking to Eddie.
Yeah, I've got something to say to Eddie, too. Look, I almost forgot. You saw the doctor today. Is there anything?
Oh, everything's just fine.
Oh, Liz, this should be the happiest part of my life.
I know, Bill.
I'll be right out. Well, how is everybody?
I want to thank you for everything, Bill.
Oh, it's nothing.
I'm leaving tonight.
Leaving where to?
There's a promise I have to keep.
See if you can talk him out of it, Bill. He won't listen to me. He won't tell me anything either.
I won't try to talk you out of anything, Eddie. I want to go with you.
Bill!
What for? To help me or to stop me?
I don't know. I just feel that I have to face Myers with you. And then, well, right now, I don't know.
Fellas, if this is the way the conversation is going, I have to leave. I can't be part of what happens.
Well, Eddie, where are we going?
I'll tell you when we get there.
What's the matter? Don't you trust me?
Are you going to try to save him?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
We're in this because you tried to save him the last time, you remember?
Yes, I remember. When are we leaving?
Tonight.
All right, I'll go pack.
You don't need much. Just a toothbrush, a razor, and a revolver.
The decisions have been made. Or have they? Tom stays, Bill goes. But what is it that Bill will do when he faces Myers? Right now, his emotions are those of a 19-year-old. But how long can those emotions sustain a man who is close to 40? We'll know when I return shortly with Act 3.
Hello, this is Goldilocks. It seemed like only yesterday that I was a little girl tasting porridge. You know, this one's too hot. This one's too cold. And now I conduct taste tests on diet drinks. And there's one I must tell you about. Sugar-free diet 7-Up. It has a fresh, natural, delicious taste. It drives my taste-o-meter crazy. Sugar-free diet 7-Up. This one's just right.
Hi, I'm Nanette Fabre. 11 million Americans have an untreated hearing problem, including 3 million school-age kids. I was one of those kids, but I got help. Most hard of hearing people can be helped either medically or through amplification. There is a Better Business Bureau booklet that may help you, and it's free. Write Better Hearing Institute, Box 1840. That's 1840, Washington, D.C. You want to hear what you're missing.
Pollution, crime, substandard housing, energy crisis, corruption, inequality, vandalism. If you don't like these conditions, you can do something about it. Law Day, May 1st, reminds us that the great thing about our system is that people can have a voice in improving it if they understand it and if they use that voice in the many ways possible. Through involvement, like helping to register voters, campaigning for candidates, voting. People of all ages can work to bring about change lawfully. But with almost half the population under 25, Youth can make the difference. Learning what can be done and how should begin at an early age. Law Day urges young America to lead the way. Help preserve good laws. Help change bad laws. Help make better laws. A public service message of the American Bar Association and your state and local bar associations.
Many of us spend our lives searching for the truth. But what is the truth?
Now, direct from CBS News, this Radio Net Alert Bulletin.
This is Richard Threlkeld in San Francisco. A federal warrant was issued tonight for Patricia Hearst, kidnapped daughter of publisher Randolph Hearst, as a material witness in today's $10,000 robbery of a San Francisco bank. Ms. Hearst, who announced in a communique last week that she has renounced her family to join her erstwhile captors, the Symbionese Liberation Army, was clearly visible in a security photo taken during the robbery, holding a carbon in the bank teller area. Authorities said they wanted Ms. Hearst, who has taken the revolutionary name Tanya, not for her arrest, but only as a witness, on the assumption she may have been forced to participate in the robbery, in which two bystanders were critically wounded. Three other persons, all women, all known or suspected SLA members, were charged with the robberies. Authorities said they still do not have hard evidence that Patricia Hearst took willing part in the robbery. But as FBI agent in charge Charles Bates put it tonight, "I am now convinced Patricia Hearst is alive and still with the SLA," unquote. This is Richard Threlkeld in San Francisco.
This Net Alert Bulletin has come to you from CBS News. We now resume the regular program schedule on this CBS Radio Net Alert station.
Oh, boy, I didn't realize how hungry I was.
Well, we missed dinner last night.
Now, tell me something. How do we find Eddie in a city this size?
Oh, where's the waitress? Oh, miss. Oh, could you bring us the morning paper, please?
How's the paper going to help us?
Well, the paper would carry ads for the night spots where he might have worked.
Hey, it's right. If he found Myers, it would probably be in a bar or a club.
Yes. Thank you, miss.
All right, darling, you go through the ads, Sal. Just sit and finish this coffee, then I'll start looking for Eddie.
Well, I intend to go with you.
Oh, no. No, you don't. It's miserable out. It's snowy. Now, you stay in the hotel. I can find him.
Bill. Oh, Bill, we won't. We won't find Eddie.
What do you mean?
Look at what it says.
Hmm?
Here in the paper.
Let's see.
Yeah. Eddie is dead.
What? Musician found shot to death. Police puzzled by mysterious murder. Body discovered in hotel room. No apparent motive. Eddie dead? How can he be? Only yesterday.
Well, do the police have anything to go on?
No. It says here no leads, no clues. Liz, it had to happen last night. Someone was waiting for him. It has to be Myers.
Well, look, we'd better tell the police.
But Eddie said that's not the name Myers is using. We don't know who he is.
Liz! Bill!
Tom, what are you doing here?
I just got in. I checked the hotels and ran you down.
Then you know.
Yeah, I saw it in the paper. That's why I flew out here.
But Tom!
What?
How could you...
Liz, what is it?
Oh, nothing.
Poor Eddie. You know what this means? We're both in trouble now, you and I.
Why?
It's obvious Myers knew Eddie was after him, so he killed him.
Tom, we have no choice. We have got to find Myers.
But while we don't know who he is, he knows who we are. In this big city, who is Myers? He could kill us from ambush and get away with it.
Oh, Bill.
Of course, there's one thing we could do.
Yes?
Call it off.
How?
Take the next plane out of here. That would be our way of telling Myers it's all over.
Is that what you want to do?
I'm not saying it's what I want to do. I'm listing our options.
I think we have to find Myers, Tom. This time we can turn him over to justice. Oh, it's funny the way it worked out. Eddie had to die so that justice could settle accounts with Myers.
We have to find him first.
All right, we'll try all the music places. Liz, you stay here and stick close to the phones. If either of us gets a lead, we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Hello?
Darling?
Oh, any luck?
No. Has Tom phoned in?
Not yet.
Well, let's hope we get lucky.
Bill, there's something bothers me. It must be my imagination again.
Why? What is it?
I don't know, but it has something to do with Tom.
What?
I can't put my finger on it. Just something that doesn't sound right.
Well, what, honey? What could be wrong about Tom?
Bill, now I know.
Wait a minute, darling. I'll call you later.
But Bill!
Miss?
Oh, yes, sir. Care to order?
That tune. Would you ask the piano player where he learned it?
He learned it from me. I hum it all the time. You know, he says to me, "Hey, Millie, I like that." Now he plays it all the time.
I knew the man who wrote it, Eddie Benson.
Oh, you knew Eddie?
Sure, we were good friends.
That's a shame what happened to him. He was, I don't know, somebody once told me a word. Mercurial. Yeah, he was a mercurial character.
That he was.
A guy like him. Oh, he got a lot of people sore at him. Well, at least he left a pretty tune to remember him by. I just can't get it out of my head. Everybody loves it. Well, almost everybody. I know one character who didn't.
That's so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it was Eddie's last night on the job. He was playing the tune. And then this guy, he comes in here all the time. This guy wanted to give him $10 just to quit playing it.
You're kidding.
No, it's a fact.
Do you know the guy?
Oh, sure. He's a regular. Oh, he hasn't been in lately. Yeah. One thing I gotta say about old R.J. Jackson. He's got a tin ear.
R.J. Jackson. Tell me more about him.
Hello?
Liz, I found him.
Tell
you later. His name is R.J. Jackson. He has a place out in the country up in the mountains. I'm going there now.
Oh, Bill.
As soon as Tom checks in with you, tell him to take Route 603 to Mountain Lane. Turn right and go up the hill as far as he can. That's the place.
But, Bill, there's so much snow.
They keep the roads clear up there.
Bill, I must tell you. I know what bothers me about
Liz,
Tom.
I want to get started.
Look, how did Tom know to come to Central City? We didn't tell him where we were going.
He said he read about Eddie in the morning papers.
Yes, but Tom was already in Central City early this morning. How did he get
here? Darling, you're talking about Tom. Now, I'm sure he... Look, honey, I have got to be on my way. Hi, Tom. Glad you made it.
Yeah. I guess this is as far as the car can take us. It's that house on the top of the hill.
Yeah.
I think we should have sent the police.
How? Once again, we don't have the evidence.
And what are we going up there for? To kill him ourselves?
No. I think we can get a confession out of him.
Oh, sure.
Now, look, he's human. He's got a guilty conscience. He'll break down. He has to. Now, come on.
Boy, looks like Korea, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Miles and miles of nothing. You could just sink into the snow. It could just be the end of everything.
That's far enough.
What?
Stay where you are.
Look in the doorway. It's Myers.
He's got a rifle.
You're trespassing. Now get out of here, or I'll shoot.
You wouldn't shoot us, Myers.
My name isn't Myers. Now get out of here.
We have to talk with you, R.J. We're coming up.
I'm warning you.
Come on, R.J. You can't get away with it. Look out! Hit the ground.
Stay low, Tom. There's a line of trees leading up to the house. We'll work our way in.
Bill, this guy can kill both of us.
I don't think he wants to.
Are you crazy? This is the man who just killed Eddie last night.
Right now, he's scared. Come on, head for those trees.
Keep away! Keep away!
We'll try for that stone fence.
Tom!
What?
Put your gun away. I'm not going to let him pick me off. He'll show himself in the doorway when he wants to shoot again.
Don't. He's only trying to scare us off.
I see him.
Don't, Tom.
I got him. I got him. Look. He's on the ground.
Hurry up. Come on. RJ.
Don't kill me. Don't shoot again. Get me a doctor.
You'll get a doctor.
But first, we'll get a confession. You sold us out in the prison camp. Confess.
No. No, I didn't tell.
Let him alone. He'll confess later. Let's bring him inside.
No, he'll confess now. And when Eddie Benson found you, you shot him.
No, I didn't.
Then who did?
I'm hurt bad. Get me to a doctor. Bill, you were always a good guy. Help me.
RJ, it was a long time ago. The world's forgotten. I don't even think you could be brought to trial for it. It's just among the three of us. Now, I want you to confess.
I didn't do it. Honest, I didn't do it.
You did, because you didn't show up. You stayed behind. You told the guard.
No.
What did they give you? Did you have to kill Eddie, too?
I didn't kill anybody.
Yes, you did. We can get the waitress to testify. She'll tell how you saw Eddie in the lounge, how you passed out.
Well, sure, I was scared. Because you guys always thought it was me. But it could have been anybody. You, Tom.
What?
Or you, Bill. Or even Eddie himself.
Let's drag him down to my car and bring him in.
Tom.
Now, please. Haven't I suffered enough?
No, it's not enough.
Tom, how did you know about the waitress? Huh? How did you know about the waitress?
What? You told me.
No, I didn't tell you anything about the waitress. I just left a message for you to meet me here.
Well, Well, you must have said something about it to Liz.
But I didn't.
Well, then, how would I know?
How? Because Eddie told you.
Eddie? Why would Eddie tell
me? You said you could get it out of him. Did you tell him that I would never help him, but that you would? Is that how you got him to trust you?
Oh, come on. Why would I want to kill Eddie?
Because of that talk we had in my house. Maybe unconsciously, both Eddie and I started to think. Why were we always convinced that R.J. was the informer?
Because
you were the first one to accuse him. And who said not to denounce him to the army? You did, Tom. And who said let's hunt him down ourselves? You did. Why? Because you knew it would be impossible. You knew we would settle down in a civilian life and forget it.
Bill, you've got it wrong.
But you didn't figure on Eddie. You didn't figure one of us would spend his whole
Bill,
life...
Bill, you know me.
Everywhere you turn, it's you, Tom. You with all the shrewd answers. Why did you have to kill Eddie?
Because he was starting to talk just like you are. And then he figured it out, and he wanted to kill me, so I had to kill him. It was self-defense.
Tom.
I had to kill him. It was like it used to be, back in combat, kill or be killed.
You were the informer.
No, I informed, but I wasn't the informer. I just didn't do what Hennessy ordered. I didn't cover my tracks. That's why they found us.
What did they pay you?
Nothing. I wanted us to get caught.
You wanted it? Why?
Well, Hennessy was wrong. The only time in his life he was wrong. We could never have made it, Bill. All of us would have died in the snow. I was trying to save our lives.
Tom.
I tried to explain it to Hennessy. I tried, but he wouldn't listen. He would only say in that way of his, trust me, kid, it'll be okay. And I keep trying to explain to him. Believe me, I try. Every night for the last 20 years, I try to make him see it, but I can't find him. He's out there in the snow, and I can't find him.
All right, Tom, we better go back to town.
No, wait here. I'll find him. He can't have gone far. I'll find him. I'll explain why I did this. He'll forgive me. He'll understand.
Stop him, Bill. Stop him. He'll get lost out there. He'll freeze to death.
I can't leave you, RJ. We have to get you to a doctor. We'll come back for Tom. Later.
They found Tom Wilson later. Much later. About the time of the spring thaw. The snow, the ice, had preserved the final expression on his face. It was one of peace and calm, as if he had actually found Hennessy, and Hennessy had forgiven him.
Well, Hennessy would. He was that kind of man. I'll be back shortly.
Oh, sure. You can talk about good-tasting diet drinks, but I know. I'm Goldilocks, and here at my taste-testing laboratory, I taste-test them all. And nobody's been drinking my diet drinks until I tested sugar-free diet 7-Up. And then, kabloomy, every bear wanted some. Diet 7-Up is fresh, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up. This one's just right.
You finally made your gift list. Your neighbor's child is 2, your niece is 6, and nephew is 7. But before you go to the toy store, there's something else you should do. Write TOYS, Washington, D.C., 20207 for a free booklet on toy safety. That's TOYS, Washington, D.C., 20207. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Dreams. The man does. It's what we call the generation gap. And this is not the distance between parents and children. It is the unbridgeable abyss between what a man is today and what he wanted to be yesterday. But that's because you can only be young once. Something you can do more than once is listen. You can listen again and again to our Mystery Theater Tales. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Mandel Kramer, George Petrie, Bryna Rayburn, and Lon Clark. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Now, what made you do a thing like that?
I couldn't help it. It just came out. We were talking and I told him about what happened to you that night.
Nothing happened to me that night. It was just a mistake.
You fainted. There wasn't any mistake about that.
Fainted? What kind of a word is that? Old ladies faint. Me, I just conked out for a couple of minutes.
Yes, but the reason...
Never mind the reason. You still trying to tell me I'm nuts? I didn't see that guy in the elevator?
No, I'm not saying that.
Because I did see him. Understand? He was some kind of freak, that's all. And maybe somebody who had a bad accident.
But a man without a mouth. It's so incredible. I mean, how can anyone live without a mouth?
This guy was alive. I seen him.
Yes, and he scared you so much.
Did you cut that out?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by new sugar-free diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
And CBS News coming up shortly on KIXI. CBS News next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. A weather outlook calls for night and morning low clouds, afternoon clearing through tonight. Increasing chance of showers tomorrow. Highs in the upper 50s, lows in the mid-40s. Currently, it's 49 degrees at 12 midnight.
CBS News. Authorities in San Francisco are seeking kidnapped Patricia Hearst as a material witness in a bank robbery there yesterday. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Three other women, known to be associated with the Symbionese Liberation Army, have been charged in the robbery. The SLA has claimed responsibility for the Hearst kidnapping. All four women were photographed during the holdup, along with one male suspect. But both the FBI and the U.S. attorney in the district say that Ms. Hearst may have been forced to take part, since the photos show one suspect training an automatic weapon in the direction of Ms. Hearst. San Francisco Mayor Joseph Alioto describes the SLA as a band of killers and third-rate intellectuals with delusions of their own importance. And he put his position on the line.
We are now free to call these folks for what they are. And the first thing that we have to establish is put the mark of the outlaw on these folks who deserve it. They are a great social revolutionary. They aren't social revolutionaries. They are killers. They are murderers. They are kidnappers. They are extortionists.
Mayor Alioto was speaking to the Comstock Club in Sacramento. More in a minute.
Earn $200 to $300 a week in your spare time. That's right, $200 to $300 a week. Thousands and thousands of jobs go begging. Our school training guarantees you placement, glamour, excitement, and big, big money.
Sounds great, doesn't it? Especially when the school also guarantees you a job. What can you lose? A lot. Time, hard effort, high hopes, and your money. This is Della Reese telling you to get straight answers before you sign a vocational school contract. Find out, one, will school training qualify you for a job? Two, are jobs available in the field of your interest? Talk to employers, former school students, and military or high school counselors. For a guidebook to help you select a vocational school, write Federal Trade Commission, Washington, D.C., 20580. Being fooled about how easy it is to get a job is one of the worst mistakes you can make.
Write Federal Trade Commission, Washington, D.C., 20580.
Former Attorney General John Mitchell faces more questioning today from the prosecution in his New York trial. Mitchell and former Commerce Secretary Maurice Stans are charged with obstructing an investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission of Robert Vesco in exchange for Vesco's secret contribution to President Nixon's re-election campaign. Chris Kelly reports on yesterday's testimony.
In a firm voice, the former Attorney General declared he is absolutely not guilty of any of the charges against him. Testifying again in his own defense, Mitchell insisted there was nothing improper in accepting the campaign contribution of financier Robert Vesco. He said that after he and Maurice Stans discussed its propriety, they concluded it would be all right to accept the money. Mitchell did not change his story under a lengthy cross-examination by the prosecution. He said the whole matter of Vesco's contribution would have been discarded if he thought the financier was trying to buy a fix. As Mitchell put it, if Vesco thought he was going to get a favor, he would be looking for more than just a meeting with the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Mitchell denied intervening on Vesco's behalf, claiming documents suggesting he did so were merely attempts by a Vesco associate to convince the financier that he, Mitchell, was doing something for him. Chris Kelly, CBS News, New York.
The Supreme Court has been told that some communities in the country are using the High Court's new rules against pornography to suppress legitimate artistic expression. CBS News legal correspondent Fred Graham reports from Washington.
At issue was the movie Carnal Knowledge, which won an Academy Award nomination for one of its stars, Anne Margaret, but brought an obscenity conviction to a theater owner who showed it in Albany, Georgia. Today, New York defense lawyer Louis Neiser told the justices this was cultural illiteracy, and he warned that unless it's overturned, filmmakers may become timid and unimaginative. Neiser asked the High Court to re-examine the landmark obscenity decision it handed down just last spring when the court said each community can enforce its own standard of candor in obscenity cases. Neiser said communities should not be permitted to suppress films unless they are hardcore pornography without any artistic merit. Jack Valeni, president of the Motion Picture Association of America, said the film industry couldn't comply by simply cutting its film differently for different communities. The Supreme Court is expected to hand down its decision in June. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
Back in a minute.
The time is 6:45 a.m.
Oh, boy, already? Well, this ought to get me going.
The time is 7:15 a.m.
Breakfast is ready, Henry.
Okay, I'll be right down.
The time is 7:30 a.m.
More coffee, dear.
Yes, maybe half a cup. I'm running a little late this morning.
The time is 7:45 a.m.
How do you like that? Nothing but shortages of this and shortages of that.
Well, I noticed there's no shortage of tobacco.
Huh? Oh, sorry. Did my cigarette bother you?
Yes. Doesn't it bother you?
The time is 8:05 a.m.
Hello? Oh, hi, Bill. Hey, hang on a second, will you? Let me grab a cigarette. Now, what's happening?
If this sounds like a typical day in your life, your life must not mean much to you, does it? Kick the habit. Join the unhooked generation. This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time now is 6 minutes past midnight. Mm-hmm.